This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Let all that you do be done in love.
Now on Patchwork Heart Radio, this is Remember You Are Loved Live with your hosts Martha Fernandez-Sardina and Bill Snyder.
Welcome to Remember You Are Loved Live. We are transmitting from San Antonio and from
Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
I have the pleasure of introducing myself, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder and director of RememberYouAreLoved.com, and my buddy here and partner in ministry, not in crime, Bill Snyder. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Martha?
I'm doing real well. Let's see what the Lord might have for each one of us during this Lenten season, which has already begun. This is a grace time for God to work on our hearts. From the inside out, He wants to convert us, Bill. And to each one of you who are listening to us, you know that that is what Lent is about. It's not only or primarily about the external things we do, but rather that the external might help, might assist the internal, the interior, the change that Christ wishes to work in each one of us. Isn't that what it is, Bill? A time for spiritual inventory, a time for us to see where we are in the light and in the face of God, of Christ Jesus our Lord.
Absolutely. I think Lent is a great time for us to take a step back, to take a step back and to look at ourselves. And as you said, you pointed it out just perfectly, to be able to use the exterior things that we do, whether it's giving up something, fasting from something, or almsgiving or whatever that may be, then to translate that into a deeper connection, a deeper prayer life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think that is just a great insight into what we should be doing this Lent. It should be the entire focus, because if we don't end up with a deeper relationship with Jesus at the end of Lent, and when we rise with Him to new glory in Easter, then I think we've missed the boat.
That's exactly right. The church proposes to us these various liturgical moments throughout the entire year. We have a new year that begins with every Advent season, then it's followed by the Christmas season, then we go into what we call ordinary time. Not because it's ordinary, every day of our lives should be extraordinary by the grace of God, but it is ordinary because it counts the order, the weeks of the year. And then we stop that ordinary time with the beginning of the Lenten season, which is then followed by the glorious Easter season. And during this time, first the Lenten season, which we are now in, and then the Easter season, we look with greater focus, we look at the life, the passion, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how He, by His incarnation, His life, death, and resurrection, and His ascension into heaven, He is shouting to the world, remember, you are loved. He's calling each one of us to know how deeply and dearly, intimately, personally, eternally, loved we are by God our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at what Lent is all about. The church proposes three things that we must all do: prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. With Ash Wednesday, of course, we began already that time of prayer. We go and we receive the ashes on our forehead, which again are an outward sign of the inward commitment to conversion, commitment to change, commitment to grow in our love of God and our love of neighbor, and to properly size up our love of self. Why do I say that, Bill? Because sometimes we don't love ourselves as we ought. Either we love ourselves too little, too improperly in that negative sense, or in another negative sense, which is sort of an overflow of an excess of self-love, but it's an improper love. It's not that we're even loving ourselves too much, it's that we're loving ourselves inordinately. And when you love yourself too much, when I love myself too much, what ends up happening? I love you, or you love me, too little. And so this is a time for us to take a real hard look, and it is hard. That's why Lent sometimes is seen as a sort of a strong, strenuous, penitential time of the year, because it's hard work and it's a hard look that we're going to look at ourselves and say, okay, I have these ashes. This is the outward sign of an inner commitment to recognize my mortality, to recognize my littleness before God, to remember that I am dust and to dust shall I return, that I am called to repent and believe the good news, and then to live that life which Christ was willing to pay the ultimate price for, dying on the cross so that I might live with him for all eternity. So we need to pray, we need to fast, and we began doing that already. We'll be doing that throughout the Lenten season. For Catholics between the ages of 14 and, 59, I believe,
yep,
we must fast on Ash Wednesday and on Good Friday, which means no more than two main meals. How does that go again? Main meal that is not
larger
the size
than the other two.
And the two others don't
cannot
make
equal
up,
that.
That's right. Make up one full. Now, some people actually fast on bread and water. But besides that, also, every Friday of Lent, we are to abstain from meat as a sacrifice. But other people add other things, different people. I'll give up chocolate. I'll give up candy in general. I'll give up coffee. I'll give up this. And many people take on things. I will take up daily mass. I will take up Bible reading. I will take up listening to each one of us, right? To the two of us.
Absolutely.
What are we going to do? That's the thing. What are we going to do to make sure that this Lenten season actually brings about an interior renewal of mind and heart so that come Easter, we might look more like Jesus and be holier this Easter than last and holier next Easter than this one?
Exactly. You know, one of the things I encourage people to do, I'm doing myself, one of the things that I encourage people to do is to pick one of the doctors of the church and find their writings. I've done this the past 3 years. Find their writings and read it over the course, just one of their books. You know, this year, for me, it's St. Ephrem. So I found the homilies and hymns on Amazon, ordered it, and I said, this is what I'm going to do this Lent because I want to know more about the gospel. I want to know about how to relate the gospel. I want to be able to sing the song of Christ come the Easter season, but we have to dedicate ourselves to that study and that learning in addition to the fasting and almsgiving. But we also have to have that commitment, as you said, to do more, to go above and beyond. You know, and giving up something is wonderful, and we should do it. We should fast from something, you know, extra, whether it's giving up our TV, favorite TV show, or giving up chocolate, as you mentioned. But then to do something extra that sticks with us, we build on that knowledge. So, you know, to not just give up everything, but to also, you know, commit ourselves to learning and doing something extra and more. So I think you're absolutely right on target with that. And the other thing I wanted to add is yesterday, which was Ash Wednesday, sitting in the pew, I was listening to the first reading from Joel, you know, the prophet Joel. And you know what prophet Joel says? The reading began with verse 12 of chapter 2, and it says, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with your whole heart, fasting and weeping and mourning." And you know what? There's a lot of people, I'm sure, Martha, you'll agree with me here, that there's a lot of people out in the world today that are having lots of issues. There's just heartbreak and heartache, and not only that, but the world seems to be going crazy. There's, you know, all these world events and ISIS and all these nutso things going on. And people think, oh, gosh, the Lord wants me to return with my whole heart? Yes, yet even now. Those words just rang in my soul yesterday. Yet even now, despite everything else going on in your life, return to Christ. Return now.
It's sort of a timely message, isn't it?
It is.
And it ties in beautifully with the reading from St. Paul from Ash Wednesday, in which he says, quoting the Old Testament in 2 Corinthians 5:20 and following, he says, "In an acceptable time, I heard you." This is the Lord speaking in the Old Testament. "On the day of salvation, I helped you." And now, St. Paul then reflects, now is a very acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So it's like you're saying, Joel, the prophet Joel says, even now, says the Lord. And St. Paul corroborates, now. And Jesus says, now believe, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. It's in your midst. So this is exactly the call that Lent extends to us, that the Lord through this season of Lent extends to us. What are you going to do now to become the man, the woman that I've called you to be? And by the way, this is something important. And surely that you will encounter this, Bill, when you're reading the doctors of the church. By the way, doctor of the church doesn't mean that they were physicians. That means that it's a man or a woman who has been given that special title of the church, a saint, because of their writings and their preachings. That person has something to teach, something very useful for the church. Another very important thing is to read the fathers of the church, and many precisely of the doctors are fathers of the church, and vice versa. The early church fathers, who had so much to show us of how the early church lived this penitential season. But one of the very important things, and Bill, you may have even encountered it already, and you, our listeners, are going to encounter it if you do any of these readings and pay close attention to the daily readings throughout the Lenten season, which you can find at on any number of resources online, but including usccb.org, where I find my daily readings. You could read them or you can listen to them, and there's even some video reflections on them if you go to usccb.org/Bible/readings. You know what the Lord says in there? What kind of fast do I want? That's one of the readings for this first week of Lent, because a lot of times people will say, well, why are you even doing that external stuff? You're putting on those ashes. And the Lord says precisely in the very gospel for Ash Wednesday that you're supposed to pray in private and don't stand on the street corners and show off. And there's another very striking reading, you know, when the Lord says on Friday of this first week of Lent, you know, that the type of fasting that I want is not the one that you do as an external thing with no relation whatsoever to the interior conversion. You know, he says, you're carrying on your own pursuits. You drive all your labors. Your fast ends in quarreling and fighting, striking with wicked claw. Would that today you might fast so as to make your voice heard on high. In other words, would that you, each one of us, would carry out a fast, an almsgiving, a prayer life, a conversion that would show in the very interior change, that we would keep a day of penance, he says, in a manner in which is in a manner which we honor him by loving our neighbor, that in an acceptable, I just mentioned, you know, that St. Paul talks about an acceptable time. That is also mentioned in that reading for the first Friday of Lent, in the reading from Isaiah 58. The Lord says an acceptable day to the Lord. So I guess the main point here is that you can fast and you can fast, right?
Yes.
You can pray and you can pray. You can give alms and you can give alms, meaning there's two different, they look the same possibly on the outside, but God, the reader of souls, knows exactly what we are thinking and feeling and the reason why we're carrying this out. Is he judgmental? Is he harsh? No, but he's just. And he gives us the grace because he's absolutely loving. And because he wants us to grow and to change, he wants to give us and is readily giving us his grace so that we might do the exterior with the proper interior disposition. And you know who benefits in all this? We benefit, and our neighbor benefits, and God Almighty is absolutely pleased.
Amen. Amen.
Now, here we go then, as we move forward in this first week of Lent, the Lord calls us to a renewed life. He gives us the grace. He gives us the resources, prayer time, communal prayer time, daily mass, weekly mass for sure, individual prayer time, the stations of the cross, an ancient tradition that we should pick up again if we have forgotten it, especially on Fridays, but not only on Fridays. You know, they say that Pope St. John Paul II would, every Friday of every week throughout his life, he would pray the Stations of the Cross, the commemoration of Jesus carrying, picking up and carrying his cross and being crucified. But during Lent, he would carry out that devotion every day. So that's another ancient practice that we might pick up. And of course, we should be looking for opportunities to give alms, to give material goods to those who are dispossessed of them and need them, and also give of ourselves our time. I'd like to say, and I said recently in a talk in Vancouver and somewhere else, that time is we, you know how we say in the world that time is money?
Yes.
I say time is love. So if you give of your time, that is also a very good way of doing almsgiving. But so many of us have things in our closet, clothes, shoes, hats, coats, whatever that we don't even use. And there was a great saint, probably a doctor of the church as well, I'm trying to remember who it was now, who said that the bread that goes stale in your kitchen, that's the bread that belongs to your brother. That the shoes and the clothes that is getting moldy in your closet, that's those are the shoes and those are the clothes that belong to your brother, to your sister. So that might be also something, Bill, that any of us should take a look at and take some make a not only a spiritual inventory, but even a physical inventory of the things that we have in our possession that we have no need of. Or, are you ready for a challenge?
Sure.
Or things that we may have need of, but we will, in sacrificial love, give so that others might be blessed by the blessings we have received. Now that is what we call love. And that is one concrete way in which you and I can say to another, remember, you are loved.
Wonderful. Well, this has been a wonderful segment here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Remember, you are loved live. You have been listening to the voices of Martha Fernandez Sardina and Bill Snyder. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that you will continue to tune in to these great segments here on the Lenten season. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
And remember, you are loved.
For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Remember You Are Loved Live. This production is a joint initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry and Prepare the Way Enterprises and may not be reproduced or distributed without express written consent. For more information about Remember You Are Loved Live, please email info@patchworkheart.org or info@rememberyouareloved.com.